We'll read a few verses, starting with the fourth verse of Philippians 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. And let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. In these verses, we have had peace mentioned twice in two different ways. And that's the portion of the believer to enjoy while he's waiting for his Savior. Now, I may say a few things that I learned this morning in the meeting. I may say a few things this afternoon that the Lord has given me in the past years. I remember in 1939, here in Chicago, in the Austin YMCA, our dear brother Wagner, who's now with the Lord, spoke on the great man and the great woman, John the Baptist and the Shunammite. And this afternoon, I would like to speak a little while also on the Shunammite. I was much impressed by what he said in 1939. And I've enjoyed that subject, and I think it's very much in keeping with the book of Philippians. Now, Christian experience. I believe that's what our older brethren have told us we have in Philippians. You know, as we pass through this world, dear young people, we are having experiences continually. But the question arises this afternoon, are they Christian experiences? Now, in one sense, they must of necessity be so if you're a Christian. But there's one thing to be led with a rod and another to be led with an object before the heart. A bit and bridle might be necessary, but oh, how good it is to find in Scripture the right path and to have these things brought before us in such a way that our hearts might be attracted to the Lord Jesus Himself. And so the Spirit of God would have us do this, and so He gives us Scripture, not only the Gospels, to attract our hearts to the Lord Jesus and His pathway down here, but also the epistles to teach us the doctrine of it. And then the third way that He gives us are these lovely illustrations that we've mentioned in the Old Testament. The Shunammite, for instance, in this case. Now, I believe the experience of that woman in its various details illustrate to us the book of Philippians. Christian experience. And I believe we can get much profit from it. Now, we might not speak of it exactly as a type, but more like pictures, you know, that help us to understand these things more vividly. Now, in the verses that we've read, we notice that it starts out with joy, rejoice. We notice that the third chapter started the same way. Rejoice. Now, that's Christian experience. But you know, it's one thing to rejoice when everything is going well, and it's another thing to rejoice when everything is going badly. And we find the Apostle Paul in prison at Philippi, and he was singing praises Well, now, that's hard to do unless there's something inside that prompts it. That's hard to do. And I believe it's the book of Philippians that tells us how it can be done. Yes, to have something before our hearts continually in which we grow, we become enlarged so that we're able for these things to enjoy, even in the midst of the deepest trials, to say, it's peace, it's peace, it's peace. Now let's ask our hearts this afternoon, can we say this in all of our circumstances? Do we count it all joy when we fall into divers temptations or trials? Do we? Well, certainly, wouldn't that be a wonderful thing to be able to do? And so we see the apostle as he goes down, down, down in his experiences here. I'm speaking now in a physical way, in trial and testing. The Spirit rises and rises and rises until when he's down in that inner prison, he writes the most lovely epistles. The most precious truth that we've ever received. What's this? Is this Christian experience? Indeed it is. So we have rejoicing here now in our chapter. Rejoice in the Lord always. Always. Well, have we arrived at this in our experience? And again I say, rejoice. Now the apostle is old here. He says so. He says he's learned now certain things. Later in the chapter, we didn't read it. He hadn't learned them when he was young, and we don't either. But we do if we go on to know the Lord, we learn these things. And you know, you dear young people are going to, if you're left here, you're going to have your share of trials and testings, heartbreaks. Now you need to be fortified for it. And so, it says, the Lord is at hand. Now I know that the Lord is coming. We all know the Lord is coming. We believe that. It's our present hope. And I wouldn't want to take that away from this verse. But I don't believe that's the thought exactly here. I believe the thought here is that no matter what comes into your life, dear young people, the Lord is at hand. He's at hand. He's moving right along beside you. Didn't the apostle say so when he said, in that night the Lord stood with me? Oh, you say, well, perhaps when you're under extreme trial, then you might feel it. Yes, you do, in a special way, but he's there all the time. You know, we say that the Lord Jesus is in the midst as we gather around him on Lord's Day morning. Does he hurry quickly away like we do sometimes from the table? We get occupied with the little things of life so quickly, the things of time and sense. We forget about our blessed Savior. Does he hurry away? Read the Song of Solomon and you'll see. He feedeth among the lilies. That's his people. He loves to be with his people. You know, it's been said that the gardener is never near to the vine as he is when he's pruning it. Yes. And so there's much suffering in the book of Philippians. The apostles in prison. So on. And it's this that gives us to see God's ways with his people. To enlarge our hearts. To know something of what the Lord Jesus himself experienced. In communion with the Father as he passed through this world. Well, we're not going to say too much about Philippians. But we have the peace of God now here in this chapter. And this is a verse that I'd like to impress upon you, especially in the 7th verse. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding, there's no way to illustrate it by human means, it must be experienced, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now what calls forth this? Be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing. Then the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts, your minds. Was there ever a day when this was needed? Oh, dear young people, is it the whip that's going to keep my mind or my heart in line? No. It's Christ. It's that peace of God which passeth all understanding, which is found in Christ, an occupation with Him, that will keep my heart and my mind. Now we have another peace mentioned here. In the 9th verse, do we really want these? Those things which ye have both learned and received. Notice that. Learned and received. That's obedience. And heard and seen in me. Do. D-O, do. Now what? And the God of peace shall be with you. Now, it's one thing to have that marvelous peace. And the Lord Jesus spoke of it in the 14th of John to His disciples, that He wanted them to have that same peace that He had as He passed through this world under the trials and testings. But then, oh, how wonderful it is to have the person Himself and the consciousness of it, the God of peace shall be with you. And the God of peace shall be with you. And we're told exactly what to be occupied with here. We have another finally. Our brother asked the question what it meant the other day, finally. In the 8th verse. We have a finally in the 3rd chapter. But isn't this the finally right here? If you and I are in the enjoyment of this peace, won't this be the result? What are we occupied with day by day? What do we see with our eyes and hear with our ears? And we're responsible, dear ones, what we look at and what we listen to. It forms our character, because the character is formed by the object. Is it Christ? Now turn with me to the 4th chapter of 2 Kings, if you please. We'll read from the 8th verse. 2 Kings, the 4th chapter and the 8th verse. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, Behold, now I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, or with walls, and let us set him for him there a bed, and a table, and a stool, and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber, and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, Call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, Say now unto her, Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldst thou be spoken for to the king, or to the captain of the host? She answered, I dwell among mine own people. And he said, What then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, Verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, Call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, About this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, Nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, My head, my head. And he said to a lad, Carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, Wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, It shall be well. It is peace. Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, Drive, go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi, his servant, Behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, It is peace. It is well. And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, Let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her. And the Lord hath hid it from me, and hath not told me. Then she said, Did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, Do not deceive me? Then he said to Gehazi, Gird up thy loins, and take my staff in thine hand. Go thy way, and if thou meet any man, salute him not. And if any salute thee, answer him not again, and lay my staff upon the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her. And Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face of the child. But there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, The child is not awaked. And when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead, and laid upon his bed. He went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child and put his mouth upon his mouth, his eyes upon his eyes, his hands upon his hands, and he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro, and went up and stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, Call this Shunammite. So he called her. And when she was come in unto him, he said, Take up thy son. Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. I believe we have 7 things in this chapter, perhaps many more, but I have noticed 7, in connection with the trials and testings in the life, shall we say, of the believer. In other words, Christian experience. Now, if you were to read the history of Rebekah, you would find her riding on a camel, and all she hears about is Isaac from the servant. Lovely picture. But if you read the Song of Solomon, you'll see the experiences of the bride as she passes through testings and trials. If you read the 16th Psalm, you'll see the believer in the enjoyment of the fact of communion all the way through till he's in the Father's house, as it were. But here we have a picture of the various trials and testings that you and I may go through, brought together, and to see the result in the life of this one who is spoken of as the great woman. The great woman. Now you'll notice that she's called the mother here too. You'll notice that she's called the Shunammite. And so every expression has its meaning. Surely the inheritance is in view, because Issachar, Shunam is in Issachar, he saw that rest was good in the land that it was pleasant. Is that not the object in resurrection, the goal as we had this morning, the prize. Oh, how lovely these pictures in the Old Testament. He saw the land. The rest was good. And the land was pleasant. Do you see that, dear young people? The rest is good and the land is pleasant. Canaan's happy shore we were singing about. Is that what you have before you? Are you and I groveling in the mire of this world? Are we? And so we find that the prophet passes by. And he's going to pass by your house if he hasn't already. Are you going to do what this woman did? Notice. This is the first test. And she constrained him. Now, if you'll notice in the margin of some of your Bibles, it says she laid hold of him. She laid hold of him. Oh, how important it is to recognize when God is speaking. As he begins that work in our souls, how important it is. The energy of faith lays hold of it. She constrained him to eat bread. And now, oh, how blessed, as oft, it says, as oft. Oh, how the blessing increases. As oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. He didn't need to be constrained the next time. You remember when the Lord Jesus was passing through, passing by those who were on their way to Emmaus? He made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him to eat bread. Oh, how important this is, dear young people, to take advantage of the opportunities you have for heavenly things. There's a day coming when there's going to be a famine for the Word of God. And they'll run hither and thither to find the Word of God, and they won't find it. I believe that's in the book of Amos, isn't it? I'm not sure. But today the truth has literally fallen in the streets. It's been said, a well is not valued until it runs dry. Until it runs dry. Here's one who has a heart for the things of Christ. Have you? As oft. Now she says to her husband, I perceive that this is an holy man of God. And that's one of the first lessons, dear young people, that we'll have to learn if we're going to walk with God. And that is holiness. Why? There can't be any communion without holiness. He's a holy God. He's a jealous God. Can you go into his presence and walk with stained hands? Evil? No, of course we can't, can we? You wouldn't want to come to the table in your own house that way. How much more in the presence of a holy God, I perceive that this is an holy man of God. Now, what does he do? Does he pass by often? Continually. Now, what is that? The Lord is at hand, isn't it? Oh, yes, only one who's going on with God recognizes that he's at hand. And has that sweet communion and just goes to him like a little child when he has a need. Because in the 12th chapter or the 11th chapter of Luke, in that lesson there, we're taught that the one was hurt because of his importunity. He simply goes at any time, in any way, because of his need, and he receives the blessing. But that's the result of recognizing the man of God continually with us. And now what's she going to do? She's going to make provision so that this is a continuous thing. She says, let's make a little chamber on the wall or with walls. But she doesn't have any support from her husband. As far as we know, that woman made that little room all by herself. All by herself. And you won't have much encouragement in the things of God. This world lies in the hand of the wicked one. Even in the apostles' day, he could say, all they that be in Asia forsaken me. Yes. It's an individual path. Thank God that he's provided that there are those of like minds that we can walk with. But still, even then, real devotedness to Christ calls for an individual path. And now what's in this chamber? Oh, I'll tell you, dear ones, one who's gone this far with God knows his mind and knows what pleases him. Like Abraham in the 18th chapter of Genesis, he knew what to put out for the three visitors who came to his house, didn't he? He knew exactly what would refresh them. Do you and I refresh the Lord Jesus? Do we? He's up there on high. Matthew 14 says, a man alone. Alone. Where does he get his refreshment from? As a man, beloved. From those that are his companions. That he's called out of darkness into that marvelous light down here in this world. Are you contributing? Am I? Bed for him to rest. A table for communion. Someone has said a stool to sit at his feet. And a candlestick, because there's always a testimony under such circumstances. The testimony of the light is the result of this. Oh, what a perfectly furnished room to rejoice the heart of this guest. And it fell on a day that he came thither. And he turned into the chamber and lay there. He didn't knock on any doors. He didn't inquire. He came there. He rested. Oh, may that be our experience, dear young people. That we are in such a state of soul, with the object right, that the Lord is free to come in. It wasn't so in Lot's house. No, they said, the angel said, we'll stay in the street all night, rather than to go into that house. But they finally went in. I suppose because there was the unleavened bread, the only sign in the Old Testament that Lot was a believer. Now the blessing. Do you think that there's going to be anything but blessing where the soul is in such a state as this? Oh, he says, what can we do for this great woman? She's done so much for us. What can we do for her? Do you want the blessing of the Lord that makes rich and adds no sorrow to it? This is the way you'll get it. That's Philippians. Well, she had no child. She had no child. Now, if she's going to get any blessing, it'll have to be the blessing of Abraham. Just exactly the same blessing that Abraham gets. Abraham waited until he was 100 years old for that blessing. But he got it. You know, son in Scripture oftentimes suggests to us hope. Hope. She gets a son. That she's going to be tested. But first of all, she's tested in connection with the world at large. And so will you, dear young people. You're going to be tested to see whether it's real in your soul. You know, it's a wonderful thing to come to special meetings and have your hearts warmed, go away, and little by little, if there isn't that reading of the Word of God in prayer, your heart's going to get cold. And Satan is going to come in with his wiles, and he's going to turn you aside. You sure of that? But if you make provision so that there is no provision for the flesh, you build that little room on the wall or with walls, suggesting separation to him himself, then there's going to be blessing, and you're going to be preserved. from the world, and from sin, and from Satan. Because you have an object now. Now, he says, would you like to be spoken to the king? Or the captain of the host? Perhaps the king will make a banquet for her. Perhaps the captain of the host will put on a display, an army display of some kind, in honor of this great woman. Oh no, she says, I dwell among mine own people. It's clear, it's cut. The die is cast. She set her course. Is that so with you? Or are you and I moved about with every wind of doctrine? Are we persuaded by the things that attract us in this poor, poor world that's going to perish? Because, dear young people, everything you see is going in flames soon. Very soon. Yes, it's going to be burned up in flames. No, she won't have that. But she gets the blessing of Abraham. Now she's tested again. What is it? Well, this son grows up. We don't know how many years took place. Perhaps he was 12 years old. We don't know. And he went out to his father in the field. And suddenly he had, I suppose, a sunstroke. I don't know. My head, my head. And so the father, who cared nothing about the hope, he says to a lad, take him to his mother. Take him to his mother. Oh, how precious this is. Oh, how precious the heart of the Lord Jesus. Yes. It's the affections now. And it's because he loved us, he first loved us, that there's any response at all to that hope. He first loved us. Well, the child lay on her knee until noon and died. What's noon? Why, it's the height of the day. Ah, dear ones, and I'm sure many of one has experienced this. Just when everything naturally is so bright, just when you're looking forward to great things, then all the stays go out. And there's a crash. Now what? Does everything inside crumble too? Everything outside may crumble. The 11th Psalm says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in His holy temple. His eyelids behold the children of men. Yes. The Lord is at hand. And the circumstances might be what they may. She knows that there's nothing but blessing ahead. That's the goal. The hope. If God wants to take away that son, she's going to have something better. Because my people shall never be confounded. Never. Oh, but you say I make mistakes. No doubt this woman did too. My people shall never be confounded is a positive thing. It all depends not on your conduct, beloved, but on Jesus Christ and His work. Now, don't misunderstand me. God's government will take care of our conduct. And oh, often we have to experience bitterness because of it, but that's not the case here. Oh, how often God allows things in our lives, dear young people, that is intended to deepen in our souls a sense of these things. Not merely correction, because He wants our hearts in tune with Himself and the enjoyment of the excellencies of Christ Jesus as the goal and the object of our hearts at the end of the road. Is this Christian experience? Oh, I'm sure it is. Perhaps you've never had a crash like that in your life. Perhaps you're going to have one today or tomorrow. Who knows? Are you ready for it? Oh, dear young people, have you built a room on the wall? Have you furnished it with a bed, and the table and the stool and the candlestick, have you? Well, then you'll be ready. Because what does she do? She takes this child and she puts it right on the bed, that room. What else does she do, beloved? Oh, she closes the door and she goes out. Oh, how many take their trials and their testings with them all the time, but Jesus wants to take them for us. He wants to carry them for us. He's already been through this scene. Is this peace? Is this rest of heart? Is this Christian experience? Now what does she do? Only thing she can do. Like Mary Magdalene, who couldn't leave the grave of Jesus. This poor woman didn't know what's ahead, but she knew that if she got to the prophet, everything would be all right. Do you know that? You know, the first thing we do when we get sick is go to the doctor, isn't it? But that isn't the right thing to do. Oh, the one who cares for us, who enters into everything, every experience, he's at hand. He knows exactly what's going on. His hand of love has allowed it. He's going to take care of it. And so she, her husband inquires what she's going to do. He says, it's no new moon. What are you going to the man of God for? Ah, but this woman's heart had something that husband's heart didn't have. She had an object before her. She had before her the blessed hope. We're using the picture now for the believer. The blessed hope. She knew that something was going to happen to that son because it was God's own choice. It wasn't hers that she have that son. And you know, dear young people, that it's God's own choice in Ephesians 1 that you're one of His children. It's God's own choice that you're going to be seated with the Lord Jesus in the highest place. It's God's own choice. Now, you and I, in our poor, feeble understanding of these things, may not enter into all of it. But there's one sure thing. If we can get to Jesus, He'll take care of it. He'll take care of it. But we don't understand. And so she goes herself. And she tells the driver, you don't pay any attention to my comfort. Just get to the man of God. Pressing on, in the midst of all the sorrows and the trials and the testings, dear young people, keep your eye on the goal, the object. Keep it fixed, firm. Don't be turned aside by anything. Now she's going to be tested again. And so the prophet comes out, the Gehazi comes out, the servant. He says, is it well? What's the trouble? Oh, she says, it's peace. Peace. Peace when her son lies dead in the bed? Yes, it's peace. Why? Because her heart didn't rest in circumstances. That's why. Her heart was resting where Christian experience would make the heart rest. And the object of the soul, Christ Himself, at the end of the road. She wasn't looking at the present, she was looking at the end of the road. She wasn't going to be moved by the interval. Well, then we've had these tests. We've had one test in the 8th verse. We've had a test in the 13th verse. We've had a test in the 22nd verse, or rather 19th verse and the 22nd verse. And now, in the 26th verse again, she says, it is well, or it is peace. It is peace. And now she's going to be tested by the prophet himself. She's going to send the servant on to do this work of restoring this child's life again. But you know, it's beautiful to see the discernment of this woman. She's not interested in this one bit. She's not a bit interested in that servant going to that upper room. Not one bit. There's only one thing that she's interested in, and that is the prophet himself. And the servant goes on his way, and there's much instruction in this that we won't mention. He's a great knowing by the way, and so on. Instruction for the servant. But being the character that he is, who doesn't enter into the mind of the prophet, or even the mind of the woman, there's no results. No results. No, there's only one that can meet our needs, dear brethren. Only one, and that's Jesus. We can try this and we can try that. And God will allow us to do it sometimes too. But he's the only one. And he's promised. He's the captain of our salvation. He's promised to see us through. And he will see us through. And she says, I will not leave thee. Thee. So he goes to the upper room that he had frequented so often. And there the whole truth comes out. The child is dead. Dead. Now this is a wonderful truth because the next truth, as we've noticed in... And I'm going to tell you what I learned this morning. The other truth is that in Philippians 3... that there has to be the realization, first of all, of death to everything. There has to be that realization before there's a realization of that goal. There has to be the full realization in the soul of this. And we sing it so often, have I an object, Lord, below that would divide my heart with thee? We sing it, but oh, how little we enter into it. No, Christ alone. And he's the answer to it all. Now in 1 Kings, there's another woman who was a widow. This one is not a widow. She loses a son. And she also has that son restored to life. But it's an entirely different picture than what we have here. There we see, by this I know that thou art a man of God, and the word that thou spoken is truth. That's what she learns in that case. But what does this one learn? What does this woman learn now as she waits upon the prophet? Just waiting, waiting, knowing there's something good coming, but she's waiting. Death has no terrors for her, because the hand that gave her the blessing is able to raise it up in resurrection. Is that not Abraham's blessing? Yes, Abraham could march up that hill. He knew the God that asked him to offer his son. God had appeared to Abraham 7 times before this took place. He knew the God that had asked him to do it. Christian experience. And now we see in this last test... we find the prophet goes up and lays himself upon the child. Perfect identification. Oh, brethren, how precious this is. You know that when we see the Lord Jesus, we're going to be just like him in every way. Oh, what precious truth. Just like him. Perfect identification. Just like him. And what's the test here? Well... notice what he says to her. 36th verse. And he called Gehazi and said, call this woman? No, no. Not this woman. This mother? No. The Shunammite. Because it's a question of the inheritance, you see. It's a question of the hope. Call this Shunammite. Call the one who said this rest is good and the land is pleasant. Call her. Now what? So he called her. And when she was come in unto him, he said, take up thy son. Oh, how precious the blessing. How wonderful the blessing. Ah, but she had been instructed by experience here. And what does she do? Does she take up the blessing? No. Not first. What does she do? Then she went in and fell at his feet. Fell at his feet. She was a great woman. Her heart had been fully attached to him. A picture of the Lord Jesus is the object of the heart and the goal. Not the blessing, him. She gets the blessing with it. He is the blessing. He is the hope. He's the one that our hearts are looking forward to, to seeing face to face. We'll have all the blessing in his person because he fills all things. And there'll be nothing lacking in that day, beloved, to satisfy our heart. And there's nothing lacking now. But we don't always find it, do we? But here's the pattern of a great woman, which illustrates, I believe, somewhat of the teaching of Philippians, especially the fourth chapter. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep the heart and mind through Christ Jesus.